You're listening to How I Met Your Monster, a podcast that explores the introductions to your favorite movie monsters. My name's Zach.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Casey.
And together we dive into the world of horror to find out how filmmakers have introduced us to our favorite monsters time and time again. This is How I Met Your Monster.
You opened it. We came.
I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left.
Who are you?
Explorers in the further regions of experience. Demons to some, angels to others.
Call your meatloaf, Jack!
Thank you for joining us on a brand new episode of How I Met Your Monster. If you're not already subscribed to the show, make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, the works. Today, we are in our second round of Inspired by True Events movies. And we have a very special guest with us. But before I introduce that guest, I want to go on record and say that I know I was the one that picked Wolf Creek. But I am so pissed that we had to watch Wolf Creek.
Why?
Because fuck this movie. It is so dark and just sad. And I remember watching it when I was like, when it came out in 2005, I was like, oh, I was probably like, yeah, fuck yeah. And now I'm like, what the fuck
did we just watch? We've all gotten older. We're so much more sensitive and tender. And
okay. Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, did you mean dark like the lighting itself?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, never
mind
then.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, like dark, like why did I just watch all this?
Yeah.
So
Zach went through something.
Is it weird to you guys that like it just didn't do it for me?
We should mention, well, Casey is like our... How would you describe yourself? You
are a resident downer.
You like a a resident down. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I like the tragedy. I like dark stuff. I like it when it doesn't end happy. I like it when it's really disgusting. I love to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
But yeah, this movie did not. It didn't get. I didn't enjoy it.
God damn it, Casey!
I don't know why.
Is anything ever enough?
Right. Let me introduce our guest. Writer Sean Parikh. Thank you for joining us today, Sean.
Of course. Yeah. So excited to be here. I love talking about horror.
How did you and Danny meet?
It's a great question.
That is a great question. I think it was Instagram, I think, yeah. Or Twitter, writer Twitter, which can be.
Yeah. Writers just friend each other somehow. Yeah. And
okay.
There's something there. And I think, I'm not sure. I'm sure we have like some similar, I love horror. Like
yeah,
I'm queer.
I think I probably found you from one of your reels that you do.
Oh, God.
Sean does these very, very funny reels, and I'm not even going to try to explain like why they're so funny and charming and just clever. But you should check out his Instagram because they're very good. And I'm sure I liked it, and then I saw that you were a writer, and I reached out, and it was one of those things.
Yeah, it's a social media.
Yeah.
Extravaganza.
And now we're here talking about goddamn Wolf Creek.
All roads lead to Wolf this podcast. Oh, <God. laughs>
Can you tell us a little bit about some stuff that you're working on?
Sure. Currently, my first TV writing gig is airing Night Court, which is awesome.
Nice. It's very good.
Really well, thank you. Yeah, it came together and it's doing really well and it's amazing. And my first episode, I think, comes out probably the same week this podcast comes out.
Ooh.
So, oh, amazing. Sweet.
That should be like March, like second week of March, I think. So
where does it air?
Night Court airs on NBC on Tuesdays, 8, 7 Central.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It's next day on Peacock. So yeah, it's
congratulations,
been
really cool. By the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, congrats. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a dream. So just working on that, ready to go back. We got picked up for a second season, so just waiting on the news.
Amazing.
On when that starts. So
Strictly Television or films as well?
You know, when I started writing, I'd say like 5-6 years ago, I tried my hand at a little bit of everything. I did do a horror feature that was, I love the genre so much, but I'm currently obviously TV comedy and I'm trying to stay in that lane. But I always say comedy and horror, there's so much, there's like that really fine line.
Yeah.
That lets comedy writers do both.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because like with horror, it's like, it's all set up and payoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never really dabbled into comedy, but horror is sort of my area, I guess. But yeah, a lot of it is sort of you're trying to, whether you're trying to scare the audience or make them laugh, it's you're sort of tackling the same general kind of, maybe not emotion is the right word, but you're kind of taking that same box. You're getting that reaction. Yeah, the anticipation and reaction. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I always say, like, I love horror, but I always loved the parts of horror that made you like laugh and relieved you. I think that's kind of was like, It makes sense in my mind that that's probably why I gravitate towards comedy a little more than the killings and the torture and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Because nowadays it's really hard to watch. Like, I love when they throw in the jokes, like Megan, like it was hilarious. Yep. So stuff like that.
No, I'm with you. I feel myself gravitating toward that too. To your point, it's sort of like the when you're on a roller coaster and it gets fun in the moment, but it's that laughter afterwards when you're like, oh, my God, like that felt like as close to death as like I've ever been. And then you're just like laughing about it. And so I feel like that's sort of, I guess, what you're kind of explaining with the whole.
When's the last time you went on a roller coaster?
Never. I mean, it's been I'm definitely afraid. So
are you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
OK.
Yeah. I'll watch a horror movie.
I have a thing for theme parks, but I haven't been to one in a while.
Well, I used to love roller coasters. And last year we went to Hershey Park and I got sick and I was so disappointed in myself.
Like on the roller coaster?
No, like, well, like after we went on like, I think 6 or 7 roller coasters. And then on that last one, I like started to feel really sick. I didn't throw up or anything, but I couldn't ride anything else for the rest of the day. And I was really bummed.
Man,
yeah. I felt silly.
Just that roller coaster life isn't for you anymore.
I guess not.
Yeah.
I can't spin anymore either. I get sick if I turn around. It sucks.
I love how we're all showing our age. We're like, I don't like sad movies. I don't like gore. I don't like rides. I don't like getting up too fast. What do you gravitate toward, a certain subgenre in horror or not necessarily?
I'm not really much into torture, killing, and all that.
No, I thought for sure you'd be doing like a spin-off of Wolf Creek.
I used to like it, Wolf Creek, the origin stories of people. I don't like supernatural either. I think that goes back to my sci-fi thing. That's just really hard for me to world build. Like, I like things that could happen to you.
Okay.
Totally.
I mean, that's definitely the scariest because...
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite horror movie?
Favorite? Oh man, that's always a good question. I mean, I still think the first Saw was so good. I just remember being blown away.
Dude, me too. Screaming at the TV.
Yeah, blown away. Completely blown away.
Oh, I still do too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's funny. It's so hard to replicate. It's hard to even explain like what it was like because the franchise is so part of just like pop culture now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the same thing with me. I saw it with a friend of mine. And I love horror, but my friend is a little more indifferent. And we just saw the title. I had heard about it and we had no idea what it was. Right. And when I tell you that we were all, some of the only like few people in the theater at the time, we were like on the floor, like grabbing our seats, like looking at each other, just like shouting. We're like, what is happening? Just truly, you just don't, when you're just so not anticipating something that epic and grand and such like a that type of movie, I guess it really throws you. It's a good one.
Okay, so before we get fully into Wolf Creek and our monster Mick Taylor, okay, was that a musician?
Mick Jagger.
No, Mick Taylor, I think. Hold on, Mick Taylor was
you're
in.
You're looking it up.
Mick Taylor was in the Clash.
Okay.
I think it just sounds like a very generic British
guy.
Michael Kevin Taylor, English guitarist.
also goes by Mick.
I don't even know what group that is.
Oh, wait. Mick Taylor was part of the Rolling Stones.
You didn't say the Rolling Stones. You said the Clash.
I know.
Mick Jagger you guys and said, Mick Taylor
there were two
in the
Mick?
Rolling Stones?
No.
One time Rolling Stones guitarist Mick Taylor has denied claims that he is set to sue the band for unpaid royalties.
All right, cool.
Okay. Anyways, Mick Taylor's our monster. The Outback backpack killer.
Not the musician.
Well, apparently he's a monster too. He's suing them.
But before we get into that, as always, we kind of like to talk about some current horror content that any of us have watched. Have you guys seen anything good lately?
Yeah. Yeah, I have, Zach. I'll take the lead on this. I've been on, I told you last week, or whenever we last recorded, I've been on this sort of Roger Corman, Edgar Allan Poe adaptation kick. Mm. All starring Vincent Price, which is so fun.
Yeah.
But this week, I've only watched one, but it was The Haunted Palace. And it's really good. It's one of my favorites so far that I've watched. Very much a kind of like throwing everything into the pot. Like it reminds me sort of Hocus Pocus, where it's like this witch warlock character is trying to cause some, you know, he's doing some mischievous deeds. He gets caught by the locals, burned alive. But right before he's burned alive, he's like, I'm going to come back in 100 years and I'm going to wreak havoc. So his great grandson comes back. He gets possessed. And I won't spoil too much, but it's there's some they pull a lot from what's his name? Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like a little surprising twist, because a lot of the movies I've been watching so far have been pretty grounded and either like just kind of ghosts or implied ghosts. So this one kind of goes for it, which is really fun.
A little more fantastical.
It's very much so. And like to the point that Lon Chaney Jr. is in it in kind of a supporting role. And he is kind of like a ghoul. Like he's sort of just been alive for 100+ years and they don't try to hide it. He's wearing like this green makeup, but he's like, playing it off like he's alive and everyone's kind of giving him looks and he's like, hey,
I'm just a guy.
It's all good. Yeah.
What's up, my fellow humans?
Yeah, exactly. So I watched that. That was a lot of fun. And I just started reading Stephen King's Cycle of the Werewolf, which they adapted into Silver Bullet with Corey Haim back in the day. And it's a lot of fun. Not a movie, but I feel like it's counts.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Books are like movie adjacent.
Books are like movies.
it became a movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's really all the like horror-y stuff that I've been into aside from Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been into Wolf Creek.
Obviously.
Sean, have you seen any good content lately?
Any good horror? I mean, the last good one I saw was Barbarian, which I'm sure you've talked about.
Yes. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was incredible. I love it.
Okay. Yeah.
Incredible. Just the story of it, of him making it, the twists, the turns. Going into the movie, not really know. I hadn't seen a trailer either, which was great. I love doing that. Megan, I saw, which was, again, it was fine. I don't know if it's horror.
I enjoyed it.
Megan's fine. Like, it's fun, but it's fun. I don't know if it's like
fun. Yeah. It's like fun when she's on screen. You're just like, you just kind of want to see her. It's like a one man show kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. They just put a lot in the trailer. I get it. A lot of the fun was totally in the trailer. And then, I mean, I watched No Country for Old Men like last week, and that was kind of horror-ish. Yeah. Like, I think he's
Anton Chigurh is a
he's very much a villain.
Monster.
Serial killer. So I would say that was great. Obviously.
Was that your first time watching it?
Yeah, obviously the Academy agrees with me. one best movie. So I love that movie. And then that's really it. I'm excited to see The Boogeyman. That trailer's great. I saw it before.
Oh, I can't
wait. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Rob Savage's, I guess it was that his debut, Host? Have you seen Host?
No.
It was like the Zoom movie that was really big around like peak pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did that. It's very quick watch. It's like 70 minutes, I want to say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're excited for Boogeyman, you should check out Host. Okay, very scary.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm. Casey, have you seen anything?
Well, I'm caught up on The Last of Us.
Nice. I'm only up to episode 5.
Which is great. And last night, I saw Beetlejuice the Musical.
How was that? What did you think?
It was so much fun. I love musical theater so much that I just cry. Like, it's so funny. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. It could be the worst play in the history of plays. But I'm like, these people are here right in front of me doing what they love to do. And I get all fucking shitty.
That's great. Yeah,
just like being there in the atmosphere.
Yes, and, I love it. And it was so good. The guy who played Beetlejuice, I think his name is Justin Collette. He played Dewey Finn on Broadway for School of Rock, which I thought was really cute.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then the girl who's playing Lydia, it's her professional debut. And she was like really amazing. So that was also really cool.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Cool. Do you take pics?
No, I'm not a picture
person.
Aside
from the.
No. Mm. I don't ever take pictures.
I'll imagine it.
Yeah. It was so good. So good. So much.
You got to be there, Danny. She's like living in the fucking moment. And that's right. Like, did you take a picture?
Zach, I just like pictures.
I don't ever take pictures of events and stuff that I'm at. I'm never that person.
No, that's probably good.
Yeah. Did you watch anything, Zach?
Just The Last of Us. Just The Last of Us. I'm on I've seen up to episode 5. So I haven't seen 6 yet, but.
Is it good? I saw 4 and I got bored.
Yeah.
And I think I'm
you
done.
Got bored, sir?
Yeah. I'm not really into much sci-fi.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, Sean, okay. I'm with you because I wanted to give the show a chance. I like Craig Mazin. I'm a big, I don't know if you listen to the Script Notes podcast. Yeah. So like you kind of want to be on their level, like knowing what they're talking about. But there was a part of me, and I know it feels like a boring narrative to be like, oh, I have this fatigue or I have this fatigue. But I did have a little bit of zombie fatigue. I'm like,
okay, they are not zombies. Like, please do not call
I know,
them.
But they kind of act like zombies. But I do like it. I just don't feel myself like, oh my God, I can't wait for the next episode. Like I will 100% watch it and I'm sure I'll enjoy it. I just was not, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed. Are you still loving it though, Zach?
Yeah. I do love it. And just like, kind of like Danny, like I wasn't going to watch this show, but I've said this before, Danny, like for years I had that zombie fatigue too, where it's like, I don't care. I just don't care. Train to Busan.
Yeah.
I put that off for so long because I just didn't care about zombies, but that movie is incredible. So
it is.
Train to Busan, watch it. But also, I heard that on the set of The Last of Us, no one was allowed to use the word zombie.
Yeah, because they're not zombies.
Right.
And that was like a big thing. Like people are calling them pretentious and everything.
Well,
and,
now I feel bad.
That's fine.
It's not the same virus.
So what do you call them?
Infected. They're infected with cordyceps.
Oh. Okay.
They're like mushrooms. They're like walking mushrooms.
I mean, I love
the
show.
Mushroom character from Mario?
Toadstool.
Call them toadstools.
Yeah, I think the show is really cool. And I know like everything that happens in the game and it's just like, I'm really excited.
Which, are they doing multiple seasons?
They're doing season 2. Yeah.
Okay. So will it be sort of like by the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one will end with how the first game ends.
Gotcha.
They said the second season, I'm not going to tell you why, but I think they said that it'll probably have to be 2 parts because of the game, the way the game is played. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, I know why.
I'll
just,
catch up.
Do you
I
know
just
why?
I just figured it out just now as you said that.
How
I've
do you
got
know
it
why?
All. I haven't played the games. I
yeah,
haven't
how
seen
do you
the rest
why?
Of the show. I just know. I know.
How?
And I'm going to tell you later, and then we're going to see how right I am. But
why don't you just tell me now?
Well, no. Spoilers.
Tell me now, big man.
Okay, are you guys ready to meet our monster?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Man, okay, so Danny, Casey, do you guys know anything about, or Sean, do you guys know anything about the real events that took place that inspired Wolf Creek?
That's funny you should ask, Zach.
Do you maybe have something prepared?
I do know about the events that led up to this movie. And Casey, feel free to chime in. So I should, Sean, so Casey's our true crime enthusiast.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
She likes her bleak endings.
Yeah.
Fiction or otherwise.
Ooh. No, don't say that. I don't like it when real people die.
You love it. So the movie is, it says it's inspired by true events. That's kind of, you know, like we did with Psycho last week. It says it's inspired by true events. It's really just kind of pulled from Ed Gein murders. So we're kind of like grabbing little tidbits and then sort of claiming it to be true. But this one is sort of based on two separate cases. One was a series of murders that were set between 1989 and 1993 with Casey. It was at Ivan, because I only wrote down his last name. Ivan Milat. Ivan Milat. They called them the backpack murders. It was in Australia. There were seven missing bodies found. Five were backpackers. Two were locals to Australia. Milat was convicted, served two life sentences. He died in 2019 while still in prison, though he never admitted to the murders. The second incident that was that the writer, that George McLean, I guess, used as inspiration, was a killer named, alleged killer, Bradley Murdoch, who supposedly killed one backpacker in 2001. Separate incidences, but you can see like the parallels, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder why he had to use Murdoch at all if it was only one.
That's a good point.
You know?
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder if it was just
there may have been details.
From what I had read, he had McLean had written the script for this and then found out about these other two alleged killers and then kind of weaved those story elements in to his script to kind of flesh it out, if you will.
Which I'm sure was helpful in terms of getting it made. It's inspired by true events rather than just sort of being a grab bag of ideas.
Yeah. I mean, he could say that about anything, though.
Right. Yeah. It like reminds me of like The Strangers saying it was based on a true event when it was like all it was a knock at their door in the middle of a cabin. That's it.
Yeah.
What were the events it was based on? It's like, well, there was this guy, someone knocked on the door. Right. Yeah. No, that's it.
There were no masks. No one asked about Tamara. Right. That's funny.
But that's pretty much it. There really wasn't. I mean, the story itself, as we all obviously know, we're talking about, we just watched it. But there's less of a story in this movie than there is just we're following in sort of the same vein, Zach, as like Texas Chainsaw, which I feel like we gravitate toward a lot. It's just sort of a road trip with friends, and they sort of stumble into dark territory by chance. There's really nothing that's pulling them there except being young kids having fun.
Right. And did you guys notice the music was very in some parts of the movie was very Texas Chainsaw like?
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember hearing any music.
Casey, did you have the volume on?
Stop titles. Okay.
Whoops. My bad.
Music plays.
It wasn't the first movie shot on digital, clearly, but it had a very camcordery digital feel to it. I mean, the first big one I remember coming out was 28 Days Later. That was like part of the thing was that it was shot on like a very low end
camera.
And
Collateral.
Collateral. Ooh,
Michael Mann.
Collateral.
Michael Mann, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you go back and look at it, I mean, I think I've heard people criticize that movie quite a bit in terms of like aesthetics. I don't see what they see. Like, yeah, it's digital, but like it looks beautiful.
I've never
seen it. Yeah. I'm a big Collateral.
But like 28 Days Later, on the other hand, I don't think they were even trying to not make it look like they shot it digital. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of that was a creative choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best zombie movie ever.
So Mick Taylor is our monster in Wolf Creek. Whether he's a guitarist or a backpacking serial killer, nobody knows. But he's funny. At least he's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until he's like...
Yeah, we don't meet him until halfway through, though, mm-hmm. which is interesting.
And you kind of think that our monster might be those dudes in the little Emu Creek shop. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Emu Creek, yeah.
Well, that's funny you say that, because
very
this felt
disgusting
like,
people.
Yeah, and we kind of dealt with that with when we did Psycho last week, where it was you keep meeting these. You don't really know unless you know what the movie is. You're not sure who the psycho is, so you're like, is it Marion? Is it that guy? Is it this person? And then, just like Psycho, halfway through, you meet Norman Bates, and you're like, oh, it's obviously you. Right. And this kind of follows that same formula, where you really don't know where it's going until, obviously, like, you get the broken-down car and the stranger who shows up conveniently. Yeah.
Well, Sean, had you seen this movie before?
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw it when it came out in 2005, I think it said.
Yeah,
okay. I remember it just being like the cult horror movie of the time, and I like really wanted to see it in the theater. I remember liking it a lot. And then when we rewatched it for this, I was like, I don't remember a thing. I don't remember who the villain is. So that probably is a good testament to how great the villain was crafted. Which is not great to me. because, yeah, for him to come in at the 45-minute mark was a lot. But I didn't remember it. So it was like watching it for the first time again and meeting these characters.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is I think it is sort of, you know, when this movie came out, we were getting movies, you know, I was throwing around like the torture porn like term, but it was also just, I don't even know how you would describe it. It was just sort of it was torture porn meets random killings. So you had the Hills Have Eyes remake, you had like Hostel, where it's just sort of people thrusting themselves into a sort of ordinary situation, but out of their comfort zone. And then they sort of have to deal with the environment. And in that environment is a killer. So you're not really getting that sort of, I don't know, I guess it almost feels documentary in a way. Like everything's very raw and real. Mm-hmm. And even at the end, it's so bleak because they can justify it narratively by being like, oh, it's true. Like this is what happened. We didn't want to glamorize it until you find out it's like, even though you have all this text at the end saying what happened to the survivors, those people weren't even real to begin with. So I feel like that was just a side effect of the era. And I know it's subjective, but I feel like a lot, I don't know, at least Sean and I are on the same page of it. Like entertainment wise, it's not as captivating, I guess.
Not compelling. I don't think this movie could get made today.
Totally.
With a big budget release, like with the big wide release like it did back then. Because
It felt fresh at the time. Like you said, you went and saw it and it was like, oh, like everyone was talking about it. But because it felt different. But yeah, Mick ain't no Ghostface.
Mick ain't Ghostface, no.
But I normally like those kind of movies.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something real off about this one.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. It's like, it might be because he didn't come in for so long. I was just so bored right from the beginning.
Yeah.
That I was like, that I kind of had just given up, which is not the right attitude, but it's what I did.
Right.
This movie, I think, could have benefited from being a little bit more traditional, like open up with a kill.
Yeah.
Just like do that, you know, and then we can go along for the ride because we kind of know we're going to come back to it, have like a bookend. So I think that.
Yeah, that would have made it better.
Didn't help. Yeah.
So when they were like, I felt like so smart, right? They were driving and they're like on their little road trip and they've got their map and it says like Wolf Creek meteorite crash site. And I was like, oh, I'm going to write this down because I think this is going to come back into play. Right. I was like, I'm going to be ahead of it and catch up. And then, that's like where they're going. and that's like the whole big thing.
It was important.
I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm not that. I didn't catch this small little detail that was going to come back into play later.
Exactly.
They go to this giant hole in the ground.
I actually will say there was one thing about the whole meteorite thing, which was did feel random. But I think I only maybe caught this because coincidentally in Cycle of the Werewolf, which I'm reading, they kind of have a really similar they make a similar point because I wrote down where was it? So, yeah, they get to the crater and they one of them asks, like, why did it strike here? And I think it's Ben who says maybe he was drawn to something in the earth, mm-hmm. like lightning or something. And I thought, I was like, oh, that's so interesting, because in Cycle of the Werewolf, the book opens up with there's no hiding the fact that, like, this is about werewolves. And there's a line that says there's no more reason for its coming now than there would be for the arrival of cancer or a psychotic with a murder on his mind or a killer tornado. And it's just like the idea of just how it's random, you know, just like an illness mm-hmm. or anything could just like happen upon a place or a person. So for that, I appreciated it, that it kind of treated the Mick, the killer, as like this force of nature. I do wish they kind of played with that a little bit more, mm-hmm. you know, like, again, like if we had seen, I know we're kind of like beating a dead horse, but like if we had seen him do this, you know, in this, I don't know, but.
Well.
Yeah,
that's it's up to us to play with it a little bit more, because mm-hmm. it is now time for the How I Met Your Monster conspiracy theory of the week.
It's gonna make no sense.
Hit it.
You're telling me that NASA is going to kill the president of the United States with an earthquake?
Not exactly the kind of thing a Secret Service agent can like just throw himself on top of.
The whole Vietnam War was fought over a bet that Howard Hughes lost to Aristotle and NASA.
Third issue this year, conspiracy theory.
Okay, so you're saying Mick Taylor is a force of nature, right?
Yes.
He's a fucking alien, right? Because they get to this crash site. He comes out of seemingly nowhere. They mm-hmm. kind of don't know what his little light is when he gets there. And they're like, oh, it's just a car. Okay.
Yeah.
Then he gets shot in the like neck. But doesn't die, right? Mm-hmm. He just magically appears in that car, like in the back seat where she's like, doesn't have the keys. How did he get in there? He made no noise.
Michael Myers. Right?
Yeah.
Why? Obviously. He's not the kind of person that like would you'd think would sneak around. And he's so like nimble. he'd have to open the door. He
was
like,
already
he in would the sneak car. In. But like, how did he know she was going to get in that car? And wouldn't he just like come in and be like, hey, there you are, and just fucking kill her?
Because they wanted a Michael Myers moment.
He wanted her to have a moment.
Right. And then nobody found him later. Nobody found the bodies.
Right.
It all adds up.
Okay. And this might be the best one you've had in a while.
So, Zach, you're saying that his spaceship crash landed at what is now called the Wolf Creek crater. And he has since been sort of roaming the lands, killing off people as though he was hunting animals.
Sugar. Water.
Yeah. But more like sugar.
Wait.
Sugar. Wait.
Water.
Water.
Is this another conspiracy theory of the week extension? Is this a spinoff of the Men in Black series?
Yeah. You bet your ass.
He did just dissolve in the final frame.
See? He did.
Like sugar and water.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
All right.
Or it could be like, I'm not going to lie.
His little mine shaft thing could be like his spaceship under the ground where it's like there's like a series of tunnels and it's really just his ship that was like under.
Yeah. And you get that inevitable scene where it's like everything's the ground starts shaking and you realize like the dust falls off the walls to reveal like the chrome plating. And we're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like
that would have been cool.
That would have been
a barbarian level twist. Yeah. Open up on them reaching Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
And then have meet him like right from the get go. And then midpoint you realize, Zach, you wrote a great movie here.
Maybe they did that in the sequel. I don't know if any of us watched the sequel.
There are two sequels and a
series.
What?
They did a TV series for like three seasons.
Well, I think it's like when you get to number four of a franchise, you have to go to space. So there we go.
So they're one away.
This one started in space. We just didn't realize it. But yeah, Mick, the actor, I want to credit him. I had his name written down, and then for whatever reason.
His name is John Jarrett, J-A-R-R-A-T-T.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in all the sequels and the series.
Oh, and the series. Wow.
Okay. So Mick Taylor's an alien. Perfect. Moving on.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Moving on.
And I mean, that's perfect. That is when we meet the monster. Though of course we don't realize. Okay. Would you say if you were to be watching this movie and you had not seen the trailer, would you assume at this point that this is the villain?
I actually did. Yeah, I was like really watching with fresh eyes this time. I thought he was a helper. I thought we were going to get to the
like maybe a potential victim.
Guy. Yeah. Yeah, I thought he was going to be a victim. Like he was just going to get hit at any point. Yeah.
Okay.
He is very charismatic. Does a great job with this performance. Mm-hmm. I was very impressed. Like I would have loved to have seen more of him, which again, to the point, I feel like this is just a kind of a running theme is should give us a little bit more juice, I guess, you know,
a little more juice.
Like he was so funny. when Ben goes up to him and he's like, he's all nervous about talking about payment. And he's like, of course I'm not going to charge you, you stupid bastard. It's like, wait, this is so funny.
Well, he's not going to charge him because he's going to kill him.
Yeah. He's like, well, you're going to pay me with your lives. Yeah. But, our introduction to the monster is a little less traditional, I guess, than we've dealt with in other movies.
Because I kind of thought he was going to take them back to wherever, and then that other guy was going to be there, the guy from the cafe.
Oh yeah,
I knew. But, I just saw the guy and I was like, he's a killer. So.
Sean, I think at this point you're the only one who has not tried to talk with an Outback.
Give us your best Australian accent.
It's probably a reason I've been quiet. I don't think there's no way I can do an Australian. You just heard it became very Texan. Which is
that's so funny.
So let's not. I learned the word Sheila though. I'm gonna call every woman a Sheila.
Sheila.
Which is funny because I didn't put it together that they were not Australian until he pointed it out, which goes to show my perception.
No, you know what? Like, I don't think I noticed either. Strong.
Okay, good.
Until they kept saying they're British. Yeah, I didn't know. I'm the same.
Now Ben was Australian. He was from Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other two were from, did you say they were from Britain or they were American?
Yeah.
I think they said
they were British girls, right?
Oh, British. Yeah, okay.
I think so.
Okay. But okay. So I did like their little makeout session on top of the mountain. I thought that was like.
Perv. Zach's like, this is a great
song. Wow, Zach.
It was so good. I wasn't paying attention until and then I was like, I got into it. No, but it was very, it was a very sweet little scene. Like it was very like,
it was
real, I guess. It felt very organic. Very well acted and very organic. Thank you. But I fucking loved it. Oh God.
That's good.
But see, that's like, that was like a really tender, like very real moment. And I think you could have just, again, I don't want to, we don't like to criticize. I don't want to shit on this movie or anything, but
I think you could have 48 minutes into the episode,
48 minutes of just criticism. Yeah. Just like trim some of that fat, you know, like it's like, I get it, you know, like we're in.
Should I say what I did like about the movie?
Yes,
please.
I did like the end. Particularly the part where
credits.
No.
I'm just kidding.
When Liz goes back to get another vehicle. I do like the part where he's in the car because again, a little Halloween moment there that always gets me. Always gets me in Halloween, no matter how many times I've seen it. Okay, so I liked that. And then I also liked that when he stabbed her and got her out of the car. And then normally what happens in this situation is they make dialogue in order to prevent, you know, something bad from happening. Like, there's more dialogue in these parts so that someone can come in and save them. And they still have that dialogue in there. And I was expecting for somebody to come out and save her, but nobody did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just was still talking to her. And I was like, when's it going to happen? They're stalling this so that someone can come in and shoot him again or whatever, whatever. And they didn't.
Yeah. As dark as it was, and I tend to gravitate toward and like movies that have a little bit more of a hopeful ending.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, like subverting that sort of expectation, which makes it interesting. Well,
yeah, because you think she's like the hero. You think she's
right. Exactly.
Save the day or at least save herself.
Oh, and it was so cool too. And then he cut her fingers off and he severed her spinal cord.
Finger.
It was too real when right before he stabs her in the spine, she has that moment, which is a testament to her performance because it felt so real when she kind of is like, I don't know if she specifically says no, but she's like, you can see it. She's like, oh wait, you know, like this is that last moment where she's maybe not dead, but it's like, that's the last moment she'll have any, autonomy.
Yeah.
Which just made it, again, just more disturbing than scary, which really just like messes with my
head. I like to say, like, I liked Christy. That was the other one. That was her name. Mm-hmm. Christy. Like, I liked the moment she would be laughing, even though she was like in pain, like when she was just like laughing at the villain, even though like things were happening to him, and you could just hear this like villain is like, she's getting revenge laugh that you felt was going to be, oh, it's going to be a good ending. And it never did. But she was great. That was a really cool character or actor choice, just to like constantly be just thrilled anytime something happened.
Because also, I feel like you're not totally there mentally.
Oh yeah,
you're probably just in
she's
that
in shock.
Not even it's like shock and survival mode, but also just like you probably still haven't even grasped where you are, or what's happening. So
That was
I love those like those moments totally.
Yeah,
and then when we think she's gonna get saved and they get sniped.
And again, like I can appreciate it because the idea is he's sees himself as just a hunter. So they are staying, we're getting the payoff. You know, we were talking about like payoffs, setups and payoffs and scares. We're getting a payoff for him as like a character. You know, like we kind of, he tells you what's going to happen and we see it. Like, you know, he talked earlier about like how there are all these kangaroos, which I feel like you think of a kangaroo, it's like, oh, it's so cute. They're so innocent. Why would you hurt them? And he's like, no, he's like, there's just too many of them, just like tourists. And he laughs. He's like, no. He really does see it as like, well, I may as well, you know, like no harm, no foul. No one will miss him.
Oh, yeah. Kangaroos.
Aw. The whole like sniper aspect of the movie at the end, it really reminded me of this movie on Shudder called Downrange. Have you guys seen Downrange?
No.
I would highly recommend it if you like very over the top gore.
Okay.
It's not like torture kind. It's just like, very
gory. Well, people are getting sniped.
But so the acting, I remember watching it and the acting is like, it's from the guy who made Midnight Meat Train.
Oh,
do you guys remember that movie?
So
with Bradley Cooper, story.
Yeah. It's not a Clive Barker story. It's just
The director who made Midnight Meat Train. He made this movie called Downrange, and the acting is very questionable. You're like, wait a second, you've made some big movies. Why is the acting so bad? Right.
Yeah.
But the movie gets going and you're just like sucked into it. And it's like these five or six people who are, they're like tire blows out on the side of the road and you find out why their tire blew out. But then they're just like stuck behind this car and there's this sniper in a tree and he's just like, they have to figure out how to
get out of the situation. Oh, so it's like a phone booth kind of thing. Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of like they're like stuck in this one little location and he's out there and they don't know where he is. And
that's fun.
It is a very, disturbing and dark, but fun movie. but anyways, if you guys shot a Australian
Crikey.
Backpack killer in the neck with a rifle and you had to make sure he was dead,
Oh, yeah, I'd be fucking bashing his skull in with anything that I could find over
would,
there. Sorry.
Would you hit him a couple times on the back with the butt of the gun
and then just give up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a tap. She's like
a gentle rub down. Yeah.
No, and it was frustrating because some of the other things that she did were very smart. You know what I mean? Like she made some good moves. Her survival instincts were on, you know, but it would have been a lot better if she would have just made sure he was dead, because then she wouldn't have had to do the rest.
Yeah. And everyone would have survived.
Yeah.
Well, they could have even done, I don't know. This is pointless, but you could have done a twist on that where like she does kill him and then you find out he's got like a partner or something. So it's like, okay, at least there's like some believability in that.
Yeah. Or he's an alien, like, so he wouldn't have died.
Ground. Yeah, exactly.
See.
The twist fixes, the alien twist fixes every narrative problem in this story. They made a mistake.
Okay. Do you guys want to talk about our favorite reveals?
Sure.
Yes. Before we do, do we want to mention the fact that we don't really see him as the quote unquote monster until, because when they wake up after when they're bound and gagged, it is very jarring, and we really get no, except for the fact that he's a little offended when he's doing the Crocodile Dundee impersonation. We don't really see him as the villain until that moment when Liz sees him going into the room with Christy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that before we move on. It's like, I feel like that was like a significant moment.
What's interesting is that he got offended at the campfire before the Crocodile Dundee thing, when Ben said, "You must enjoy all this freedom."
Right.
And he was like, "What?" And he's like, "All the freedom." And then he just like looked at him.
Yeah.
And like, that's when he got offended. And then Ben just kept going with the Crocodile Dundee.
Why do you think it was, what was the freedom? Do you think that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it supposed to be?
Because he's an alien and he's trapped on Earth.
Yeah.
And he's not free.
He calls this freedom of Earth. Trapped on a planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely.
No, but for real though, he like, that was kind of weird to me because I was like, okay, what does that have to do with, like, why is he mad about, why is he offended about that?
Maybe it was because, maybe the fact that we're asking the question is the reason, is he's just so unhinged that, like, the fact that he reacted is, like, you can't justify it. It's like, wait, what? Like, why are you mad about that?
Yeah. But
I don't know. Why maybe there's something more concrete.
Maybe tourists are...
Oh, yeah.
Encroaching on his freedom. He used to be free, but there's all these people.
Oh.
Maybe? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that
it makes sense. It
sounds good to me.
I mean, the true events that it's based on is they were literally coined as the backpack murders. So like, that's such like a specific element.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that.
Take you.
I don't know. But yeah, that look that he gave him for like that extra 30 seconds was like, that's when we knew, right? Mm-hmm. Even when they were getting towed in the car, I was like, oh, this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
So ridiculous. I would have followed him. Is, like, that's the craziest part.
What?
Well, the fact is like he like hooks them up, so it's the fact that they're not even like they've lost all control, which freaks me out so much. Like, even if you wanted to turn around, you can't. I thought that was really effective and really it's like those little moments scared me more than the like the gory like the
like killing. So I thought when they get away and they're like they're driving and then they stop right before that cliff, I thought that was the crater again, and that he was just fucking with them and just like, no. No aliens this time. I wrote it down, Danny. It has to be important. No, but I thought it was like he was just like fucking with them, like just driving for like a long time. And that like really they were just like still like right there. But
that part really confused me.
Why?
Did they run out of gas? Did she just...
They almost went off a cliff.
No, it was in the script.
Yeah, but then they still had a car, so why didn't they just turn the fuck around and go another direction?
Well, yeah, I get that. Her whole thing was like, push it over the side and he'll see it go down and he'll think we died is what she was going
Casey,
for.
Casey, I want you to like, I want you to give script notes to people.
I'm just too intense. I'm sorry.
Oh just like one line. I'm like, sorry. Why the fuck wouldn't you just turn around?
I'm sorry. But Really? Like,
you know, but it's funny you say that because I thought I wasn't paying attention for a second because I did ask myself the same question. I was like, wait, yeah. What happened? Why is because it so like it, end it of the world right now?
Like when that happens most of the time that you come to a screeching halt and you're right at the edge of the cliff, they slowed down like at a normal pace because they could mm-hmm. see what was ahead of them and then yeah. got out of the car. You know what I mean? Instead of just being mm-hmm. like, oh, better turn.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
All. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
But reveals Mick showing up like an alien, Liz finding out that he's crazy because she sees him torturing Christy in the window. I have Mick in the back seat popping up like Michael Myers. Yeah. And totally. Then I guess you might say the one where he shoots the guy yeah. in the car.
Yeah.
Who's
oh, yeah. 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which poor guy. He was just like trying to. I hate in movies when like characters who are just trying to help like random strangers get.
Well, same thing happens in Texas Chainsaw. That.
Yep.
Except in this, well, okay, in that one, does
well,
the,
they get away.
The driver dies, right? Doesn't one,
no, he
doesn't
just
one
runs
driver
away.
Die? But there's the trucker. Oh, he just runs away. That's right. Okay. Yeah. And then the other one gets her. Okay. Yeah, so this is just like a bleaker version of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The moral of the story yeah. is don't help anybody.
Yeah.
You're going to get your ass killed.
Yeah, and stay on the beach. The movie opens up on this gorgeous vacation. It's like, just stay there.
Why didn't they? Yeah. It?
They had to see
Let's
the
go
crater.
See a crater.
Okay. My favorite reveal is the car one because I've already said
the
that.
Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then what happens afterwards because that's the part where you think yeah. that she's going to get saved and she's not.
So. Yeah, that was yeah. the true, like, he's a killer. Like, mm-hmm. traditional, like, we're throwing yeah. it back.
Mm-hmm. He's a killer.
Yeah. Sean, do you have a favorite?
I would say that one was probably the one that made, yeah, it's fits into all the horror tropes. It's mm-hmm. still scary. Was there ever, I mean, I know the ending says that, what's his name, Ben, could have been yeah. the killer. Was there ever, mm-hmm. were we, like, that could have been effective if we were led to believe that too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think they had dropped hints in there, right?
Yeah, weird. It almost would have been cool if when we revisited him at the end, he had already started kind of unchaining himself. Yeah. So it kind of leaves that suspension of disbelief a little bit.
Oh my god, like, it
would
wait,
be like
was
Saw. He really tied up or
yeah.
Cause he was like they even make a point of him being like they're not Australian, but he is, so maybe he knows mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like so he specifically drove them to this area mm-hmm. and
yeah.
You have all the ingredients, but mm-hmm. You almost needed a little, need to be just a little tighter to make you a little more suspicious. Hmm. Or at least to like warrant the suspicion, I guess.
And maybe just for the sake of movie making, we will say that as much criticism we are giving this movie, filmmaking is incredibly difficult.
I haven't made a movie. It's better than any movie I've ever made.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so... That's all I'm going to say about that.
I like
it. Yeah, it's all love. It's all love.
For it's sure. all love.
It made a splash in the horror scene. Like that's a huge deal.
Oh yeah.
This yeah.
Like, exactly. It's on your podcast. That's a,
we're still talking about it.
100%. Exactly. My favorite reveal was just the first time that we meet him when it's just the lights coming at the car.
Okay.
Cause once you know he's bad, it makes that so creepy. Because he's so good at being so charming. It's just, oh, you have so much hope. You're just like, yes, he's there to help. But they even kind of set it up with like, it is this ominous presence coming toward them. And then he kind of like messes with your head and then he does it again. And
yeah.
He messes with your head.
That lady on the wall in his garage mm-hmm. that like didn't have a head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was that about?
What do you mean? What was that about?
Where
did her head go?
Probably in that pile of bones and shit in that shed thing.
Oh yeah, why did she go down there? I thought she had dropped her gun down there, but then she had her gun with her. Why'd she go down there?
Maybe she was just lost.
She was looking for cars.
Okay.
In the cellar.
Speaking of guns, though, I did like when she found the gun on the table and like she didn't know what bullets to put in it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was very like realistic because like how do you know what kind of like, if you don't know about guns, I don't know, like what kind of bullets you put in. There's like
I'd be using it as a melee weapon.
I'd be like holding it backwards and I would throw it or something. It would just like I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd be looking for like an Xbox controller. I'm like, I know that's how you can control these.
All right. Well, now it's time for a segment that we like to call The Real Monster.
Run, run, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the Gingerbread Man.
You're a monster.
I'm not the monster here. You are. You and the rest of that fairy tale trash poisoning my perfect world. Now tell me, where are the others?
Eat me.
Danny, who's your real monster?
The real monster was the pool in the open, and like the opening, one of the opening few scenes, because it was almost the first like true killer. If you watch it, Ben, when he jumps in, he is inches. I mean, I'm talking about the actor too. Inches away from smacking his head at full speed on the edge of like a concrete pool. And I was like, oh, God, it was like the one time I really jumped in the movie. I was like, oh, like I could just picture it. I mean, I'm not kidding. And I almost wondered if, you know, because you're acting, you're like trying to give it your all. And I wonder if he just wasn't even thinking, because when he if you watch it, he jumps in and without bracing himself whatsoever. And yeah, that
close call.
Ben was almost, ironically, he was the survivor, but he almost was our first victim.
I like it.
Sean, do you have a real monster choice for Wolf Creek?
I would probably say something like the lack of planning a vacation for these girls. Like, that's so annoying. Like, I don't understand. Just like the spur of the moment. Let's find this random dude to drive us.
Oh, man.
There's just something very not thought out.
Yeah. That
a guy who doesn't have a car. It's not like he was like, oh, it's the only one we know who has a car. It's like, we'll prompt him to get a car.
I really get, because I'm like, I love a plan. Cannot without a plan. Like, we're going to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee at the end of April. And I'm already like, I am getting tickets for everything and planning out our days.
This movie taught you anything,
all this stuff. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm already like that. You know, you guys are me. I love a plan, but
yeah, Sean, that's a good
there was
pick.
Something weird.
It's so stressful.
Yeah. It was stressful.
Avoidable
in
issues.
In a foreign country.
Exactly.
Waking up on a beach. Come on.
And she didn't even wake up with the people that she was with, like her friends. It's just like, okay. I've got two real monsters and they kind of go together.
Okay.
Guys who say shit like, we could break that in half real quick.
Oh,
like what the fuck? So basically,
Zach, you've done this a few times. Like, you flag like these old school or traditional sayings that guys do that drive you up. And I love that you always call it out.
Well, I basically like rapists, right?
Yeah.
They're the real monsters. Because like, number one, that's disgusting. And number two, the guys who say that are probably the ones who are just like the worst in bed, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also, can you go back and say that in an Australian accent, please?
The thing I don't like people when they say.
Yeah.
So one of my real monsters, Casey, this is for you.
Thank you.
Are guys who say shit like
you only get one take.
We can break that in half real quick.
Those are all right.
That was good.
That was good.
Hey, thanks. I'm sweating, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, you need a little more confidence.
Yeah.
We can break air in half real quick.
Oh my God. But to go in with that, part of my real monster is car salesmen, because they're the worst. And this guy in this movie was like, what did he call him? Sheila's?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what he just like referred to as girls? Sheilas. He's like going on a road trip with a couple of Sheilas. And he's like, that's like basically like, that's fun, huh? You're gonna get some, huh? I was like, dude.
Gonna break her a knife.
You're fucking And then like the car sale in general, where he's just like, I'll take this one. And he like gets in the car and drives away. So rapists and car salesmen. Those are my real monsters.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, can't argue with that.
So, you know, I'm 33 and I sometimes still laugh when people fart. But I really hated that scene. Like,
like the fact that he chose that moment.
I don't know. I just was like, no. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think
he was
the only one
who did it.
But no, and not even just that. Like, I don't think that in a movie I don't think I've ever seen a fart scene like that in a movie. Usually, if it's a fart scene in a movie, it's like some stupid fucking like Austin Powers movie or something like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why I hated
this. It was like a real moment of like a guy doing like,
yes, yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Like, well, I have a question then. Yeah. Do you think they would have survived had he not farted? Like, was that like,
was the butterfly effect?
It may have.
Did that tip the scales?
Maybe. I mean, he called the guy Crocodile Dundee.
Is that the deadliest fart on film?
Yeah. It just really, I did not like it.
Well, on that note, is there anything else that you all would like to add about Wolf Creek or Mick Taylor, the guitarist or the killer?
Nothing to add. No, I don't have really any other.
I think that's it.
Thoughts.
Yeah.
Now that we are done, now that we've got Wolf Creek out of the way, make sure to join us for our next episode where we will be on our third movie is inspired by true events. And I don't know what it is. Danny, you don't know what it is. Sean doesn't even know what it is. Casey, what is our movie surprise for next week? Who is our monster? Oh, gosh. The look on your face. You're excited.
I'm terrified.
Me too. Oh, my God.
I've chosen a movie inspired by the greatest true event of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus.
And I have chosen The Passion of the Christ.
No.
No, you did not.
I'm joking. We're doing Red State. But
I hate you so much, Casey.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, that's so funny. I was like, gotcha. Wait, okay. Just got to get into that headspace. We're going to talk about Jesus.
Okay. Red State.
Red State. Nice.
I've wanted to see it for a long time, so I'm glad we're doing that.
It's Kevin Smith's first foray into a movie that's not comedy. Yeah. And then he's since done a lot in that other space, but his first like horror, and it's crazy.
It's got our good horror friend Kyle Gallner in it too.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited.
Yep. John Goodman and Kevin Pollak and
I am very excited for the to talk about the true events, though.
Oh, of course. I'm actually not excited to talk about those true events.
Why?
Because it's so dark.
No, it is dark, but it's fucking wild.
So make sure to join us next episode for our first Kevin Smith movie on the podcast, Red State. And Sean, thank you again for joining us. Now go meet some monsters.